Welcome to the Ausländer. So, welcome to a new episode of the Ausländer, the podcast that it's thought to be for the expat community and for the immigrants who left their homelands. And every guest that comes to the each episode are coming to explain their experiences and how did they live abroad, what was good, what was bad. What was the critical moments? What makes them go back home? What makes them stay? Today, I'm really happy to be here with Mariel, which is originally from Logroño, Spain. But actually, we met here in Greece, which is quite a funny story. Welcome.
Hi. Hi, Martin.
Yeah, it's a real pleasure to have you here. We've known each other just for couple of months, actually, right now.
But in fact, a couple of times, I think.
Yes, also, yeah. Through stand-up comedy.
So yeah, that's it.
You are used to microphones, you are used to acting, as far as I remember correctly.
And yes, you remember correctly.
Eventually, even acting theater-wise, not only stand-up comedy.
Yes, I was even studying in a theater school for 1 year. I mean, I think like I've been for 12 years doing theater. Of course, kind of like amateur, but yeah, I also did theater. Not the best, but yeah.
Nice. So as I said, you're originally from Logroño, which is a city in La Rioja, region from Spain, north of Spain.
Yeah.
You studied there, you grew up there?
I grew up there, I studied till high school, and then I moved to Salamanca, which is near to Portugal, and there I was studying criminology. And then, like, after criminology, I think it's when my life started to become crazy, because then it's when I started changing places many times in very short time.
So you lived in, by temporarily, small chunks, like say like that, UK, Poland, Slovenia, as far as I remember, Greece, of course. Mm-hmm. I'm missing something in there?
No, like abroad, those places. Then in Spain, I also moved to other places, but like, so enough, but yeah.
Well, it's quite a lot already, like four different countries. So, did you move just after finishing the university because not finding what you wanted to do in Spain, or?
I think it's a kind of curious story or not, I don't know, because I remember like just before finishing my degree in criminology, I wanted to travel alone. I wanted to have that experience, and I remember I didn't want to do this promotion, like how it's called, like the promotion, the last event with the people from the university, you know,
the graduation.
The graduation, sorry, the graduation. So instead, I decided to go to Sweden. And like really a short time for 4 days. And I was like, oh, wow, my first traveling experience alone. And then 2 months after that, I did it again. But this time, the thing is that I wanted to look for a job, because after criminology, I wanted to study psychology. Mm-hmm. I didn't study psychology, okay? But the thing is that I was looking for a job. I couldn't find anything in Spain. So I finally found something in UK. So I went there.
Criminology related?
No. I was a caregiver for 2 months. So I was taking care of like old people, which was a really difficult experience, because of course I have no idea how to do this, and I think, I don't know, I just went with the flow. I went there, they were providing training at the beginning. My English was not really good, and the trainings like were just like, you know, we were a lot of foreigners. We were just in a room watching videos for many hours about, you know, like how to take care of people. And then we needed like to fill some questionnaires, you know, and that was a training, basically.
So they are bringing people from abroad who doesn't speak that good English to take care of old people, and they just give them a training in English.
Yeah, kind of. And then like we were doing some kind of like going to the field, to call it in some way, you know. And then we were like going with someone else, seeing how this person was doing it. So kind of like job shadowing thing for some days. And then we will start working. You know, so I was taking care of two ladies. The first one was a substitution, and like this lady had a stroke, so she couldn't move much, and I was like doing everything you can imagine, like even cleaning inside of the nails of the person. You know, which is kind of like funny. I don't know. Like,
I mean,
it's interesting.
I can imagine worse things.
Yeah, for sure. But like the worst thing you can imagine, I will not tell those things, I think. And then I was taking care of another lady, and I don't know. I think, like the problem was that the company really didn't care at all about the workers. So I think that it was quite difficult to live there when you don't know really well the language. Also with the accent, you know, because like it's not the easier of the accents. But well, I don't know. I survived. And of course, I could always go back home, which is what I did exactly. You know, like not everybody there had that opportunity.
So you were where exactly in UK?
I was in Reading, which is like 40 minutes by a train from London. And there I was like in some villages, you know, so I was not like, I received the training in Reading and then I was moving to other places, such I don't remember anymore, like no those worries. Names, but yeah. Well.
So eventually at that point of time, you were 2 months in UK.
Mm-hmm.
Then you saw that that was not exactly what you wanted to do, what you
I really wanted to run away. It was terrible. Like I'm not like a great lover of the place where I'm coming from, Logroño, but I remember like I was missing so much to be at home that I remember going to the supermarket, and in the supermarket there is like this section where you have wines, wines of the world. So I was going to the Spanish wines, and there was like wines from La Rioja, from my region, and I was just there in front of those wines, like trying to be closer to home, you know. Yeah, I don't know. Was my way of coping with it, I guess.
I mean, you don't drink wine?
No, I don't drink wine, but there I was.
But you were in the wine section just looking at them for the sake of, like, reading that there was something called, like, Rioja or Logroño in there.
Yeah, because I think, like, in UK it has been, like, the place where I felt more like a foreigner.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I don't know, I think, like, the circumstances were not, like, the best ones, and I cannot talk about, like, a lot of people have had like experiences in UK, and of course every time is different, but for me personally I really felt like a foreigner. I really, like, in a bad way, I mean, I was treated bad. I was like people were like talking to me sometimes in such a way that I was like, okay, what is going on here?
So you felt really outside of the whole groups of people of the...
Yeah, I mean, also I didn't have any friend. I was working the whole day. I didn't have the time.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose in that kind of company-wise, you met the guys who were there for the training, and then everyone had their own taking care of each own persons or lady or whatever, and then...
They, like, you will have someone going to the place you were if you needed support. So, for example, in the first case, someone was going 3 times every day to help me to move the lady because she couldn't. And in the second case, she was quite independent. Like, once we went like 7 times to a supermarket because like she had dementia, so she could move a lot. And the first one could. So that time I just had like someone coming home in my free day. That was not really the whole free day because it was like 8 free hours. Then the other hours I was still there taking care of the person. So that was like the only moment that I was with kind of like someone, or like also with the son of the lady, but like I couldn't understand him, and I will tell him, please talk slower and louder because I don't know what you're saying, and you know, like still, I don't know, it was a strange situation.
It's funny. I mean, eventually you didn't improve your English while being there that 2 months, or
I think not directly. Like, I mean, that not in the moment. I think when I came back to Spain and I went again abroad, I felt then that I have improved, you know, but not in those 2 months. I think it was maybe like too short. Maybe I gained some fluency, but I don't think that the change was really big when I was there.
Interesting. So then you ran away. Well, or you went back home. That's just like ran away from the situation in UK. That's what I mean. Like, not like the job, probably mainly, like, or the whole environment, and you were not being comfortable there. Yeah. You went back home.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and then I was gonna study psychology because, like, all of this thing of working abroad, it was to save money to be able to study psychology. But I felt so trapped in that experience that then I was starting to think that I didn't really want to start like studying psychology, you know. It was more like something to broaden my possibilities in the future. So it was not something that I really wanted to do. Like I remember in one of the houses, there was a bird in a cage. And the lady at some point, like one day, she opened like the door of the bird and was cleaning the cage. And I was super surprised because the bird was not running away, you know, was not flying or anything. And I was like, oh my God, I'm that bird, you know, I'm in a cage that is open and I'm like staying in the cage. So then when I went back, I was like, okay, I will start psychology. I will do it for 1 year, and then I will decide. But the thing is that I was not selected. So then I went to the call for like if there was like some empty spot, you know. And I was the second in the list. And I remember I went there, and they said that there were 4 free spots, and then they started saying, like, calling us, saying our names. They said my name, and I just stayed there. I didn't, like, stood up or anything to do the, you know, the paperwork, the enrollment, and so on. So I just stayed there, and, like, other people took the 4 spots. And then I was like, okay, I don't have any plan. So after that, what I decided to do was to start a volunteering service, like European Solidarity Corps. And that I did in Slovenia.
Okay.
So I started looking for it because I had a friend that did this already in the past. And then kind of like in 1 month, I found one in Slovenia that was like one that was really interested in. And they took me, so I went. Like in 1 month, I you know, I was already okay. There. Yeah, it was kind of fast. And I remember I didn't want to tell my parents because I was really stressed about everything, you know. So I didn't want to tell what were my plans. And in the moment I knew I was going, then that was like two weeks before leaving, I think. I told them, hey, I'm going to Slovenia for 10 months, okay?
10 months, okay.
Yeah.
Short period of time. So you found that because of your friend, it was mainly a volunteering where more or less everything was covered, or what?
Yeah, the thing is that with these European programs, everything is covered, like accommodation. They provide accommodation to you, and they cover the travel costs for going and for coming back. They give you some food money, pocket money. So at the end, it's like, you don't get like payment, but everything is covered. So there was like a plan of what I was gonna do there. I was gonna be in a youth center doing different activities, and I was like, okay, yeah, let's do it. So I arrived there. The thing is that the project was already started. It was like two volunteers were there for already 2 months. So I entered in an already started project. Yeah. Mm. But like also I think it was easier to enter because they were like desperate to take someone. So maybe they just took me because they didn't know who else to take because nobody applied.
Lowering your value really easy.
So then I went there and I don't know, it was very nice. Like Slovenia is such an amazing country. Someone already talked about it, Filip, yeah? We said
yes, in Filip,
in the third program, I think, about Slovenia, about how Slovenia is. And I think like many people like don't know how beautiful that country is. Also because maybe they think about Slovakia or other places.
Yeah, I think it's easy to confuse, like a lot of people confuse it with
I mean, even when I was in Slovenia, it was when we were voting, like when we had the elections, like European elections and also for the president and regional ones and so on. So I needed to vote from there. And I remember that when the papers arrived in the envelope, it said, instead of Slovenia, Slovakia. I was like, okay, good job.
Great.
Yeah, but somehow like it arrived to Slovenia, my papers, for me to be able to vote. So, okay.
What was the volunteering about? There is like a topic behind it? Or?
I mean, it can be about many things. Normally, like something social can be something artistic. In this youth center that I was volunteering in, there was like different topics. So we had like industrial heritage because in the place where I was living, which is called Kamnik, is kind of like near from the capital, Ljubljana. Mm-hmm. There was like gunpowder factory, so okay. They had like some stuff going on there, and they were doing some events in places, like old places that they had there, like when it, like Yugoslavia times and so on. Then there was things like organizing events and workshops, and for example, with one of my colleagues, we were organizing clothing exchange.
Okay. Nice.
Which was like really nice, and I got many many clothes from there because like a lot of people were bringing many things. Even I'm happy because after three years, yeah, mm-hmm. like still going on. Like I still see, but yeah,
started, it's still
yeah.
Working.
So I think that's like super amazing because like after 3 years, still working. Like some days ago, I already saw that they are doing it. Like they did it some days ago already. This one, I don't know. It's nice that we did something useful. I don't know. Also because this is through a volunteering experience, and there is like many volunteers. We were meeting with many people. So at the beginning and more or less at the middle, we had kind of like meetings with volunteers from different parts of Slovenia. So we will like we had like 5 days in a place near the seaside, like really close to the border, the border with Italy. And we were 5 days there, and like we were talking about the rights of the volunteers, like the duties, I don't know, like different possibilities of things you could do after this experience, also like kind of like the framework of like these European Solidarity Corps things. I mean, of course, there was a lot of, I don't know, things going on. We were like going outdoors, and I don't know, it was like really, really amazing. And after that, we were doing like many, many parties in different places. And I think it was great because Slovenia is such a small country that you can
go to.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there is this problem that like you can cross the country really easily if you have a car, but with the means of transportation, you kind of always have to go first to the capital and then to other places, you know?
It sounds like Spain.
No, but like this, like you don't have possibilities at all. Like I was in Kamnik, which is the 10th biggest city, and I was super close, for example, from another kind of important city, which was like 25 kilometers from me.
That was not connected.
There was no connection at all. So I needed to go first to Ljubljana and then to this other place. I was like, what? Why? But I don't know. And I remember we did like several parties in our youth center, because like we asked for permission, so we had like the keys and everything. Okay. And we invited like, hey, like I don't know, like 20-30 people to our youth center, and we bought many things, we prepared dinner for everybody. I remember like the first time that we did it, we spent such a big amount of money on this. And then we were like, okay, maybe we overdid, you know. But then it was nice, and then like everybody was because we were living next to the place, everybody was sleeping in our house. Okay. And there was no room for everybody, so I remember I was just sleeping on the floor. Yeah, I mean there were like five people sleeping in a bed, you know.
That's normal.
No, that's super. I mean, it was really great. And oh my god, I remember like someone in the morning of the next day was not feeling really okay, and I was really close to the toilet, so I remember someone went to the toilet, and that was quite an orchestra there inside, you know, like many things going on. And then like when the person went out of the toilet, I was like, okay, I'm not gonna look, I don't want to know who was the person that did all of this fart noise and everything, you know. So I'm like, still, I don't know who did it, you know. I just wanted to preserve the anonymity of this person.
My gosh. Well, but it sounds like, I mean, if you compare it to the UK experience at the end, in the experience that you had in UK, you were really alone. When you were in this kind of volunteering programs, I did a really short one for 1 month and a half, for example, in Italy. And you are with a kind of group together, even if you don't met. I mean, in your case, it's really cool because you meet with other people who is volunteering in other cities, which is really nice also, because then you can kind of travel around also.
Yeah.
But even if you're staying with your own group of volunteers, you know, you're there every day. So you kind of bind one to each other more or less in a social life, more or less.
I mean, I think it was after UK, when I arrived to Slovenia, like, I don't know, like, for me, it was everything was great, you know, because after such a bad experience, whatever could happen, I was like just super happy to be in that environment. I could communicate with people because like I could understand better the accent. I was more fluent. Like everything was like much better. The people was like was nice. Like everything was working fine. Then of course with time, like this bubble that I was in kind of like broke, and then I started seeing things that I didn't that. Like kind of bother me, but at the beginning I was like, okay, do whatever you want to me, because now I can endure whatever after UK. So it was like super nice. I met a lot of people.
How old were you when you went there?
So I was 22, I think.
Yeah, I mean that's also kind an age that you were just like, okay, let's do whatever, you know, like, yeah. I mean, most of the people, which is nice. Do you mind if we do just a short break,
it's
and
fine.
Then we talk about language, because I think Slovenia, yeah. I mean, you're saying that you adapted yourself better language wise and accent wise to Slovenia than UK, which is kind of funny at the end.
Yeah, okay.
So we come back just in a second.
Yep.
So we are back. We were talking about your language experience in Slovenia compared to the UK. You were saying that you understood, I mean, the phrase that triggered me, it was like, I understood better the accent. You were still speaking English or you speak Slovenian?
Yeah, no, I was speaking in English. And the thing is that they have really good English education, like really good, you know. Also, like Slovenia is the most developed country in like from the Yugoslavian, the ones that were like from Yugoslavia, you know, like Slovenia was the one that was more advanced. And like I remember talking with 14 years old kids, and they could speak better English than me. So I didn't really need to learn Slovenian language, you know. Like still I learned, I had classes, because also with this European program it was kind of like covered somehow. Yeah. So I was receiving some classes, and also I really wanted to learn. One of my flatmates was like, Mariel, this is not worth it, you know, like 2 million people speak this language, why would you learn it? But then in a way, it's really similar to other languages. It's similar to Croatian, to also like to Polish and things like that.
There is this kind of melodic that they use in their way of speaking.
Well, I mean, they're close to them, so yeah. Also, like some words that they probably also share. So it was kind of like useful. Then you understand also better your language by this, you know. But Slovenian is very complicated language. Mm-hmm. I mean, because it has masculine, feminine, neutral. Then it has plural, singular, and dual. You know, yeah, and it's like the only language that has these, you know, and it's like it's used. For example, if I want to say like "let's go to the cinema," I will use this to refer like "let's go you and me," you know, because otherwise maybe you think that "let's go all of us, all of this group of people."
Okay.
So it's a way to really specify that I want to say "you and me."
Which is,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's really like interesting. Then, of course, like sometimes people from my organization were just like talking Slovenian between them. And I was like, okay, I cannot understand. Of course, I understand some words, but it's not enough. I mean, Slovenian is super different from Spanish. But then, like, I think my biggest struggle, well, not like biggest struggle, but I joined a choir there because the place where I was living was next to the youth center, but also next to a cultural center.
Mm-hmm.
And from my house, I could hear like all the concerts and things that were happening there, which was like amazing. And also, I remember that I was hearing like choirs rehearsing. So I really wanted to join, and I joined a choir, Otomeu, and we were singing in Slovenian. We were also singing like in German, in Russian, in Czech. Like we were singing many languages. And of course, like I was just like, I have like a transcription. So I was just reading the transcription. But it was like, okay, funny. But I really like the language. Like it sounds really, really nice. Like it sounds really nice, Slovenian language.
But eventually, like the volunteering with the youth center was mainly in English or like
depend, like some stuff was in English, some stuff was happening in Slovenian. I remember I was participating in something that was called a variety show. Some people were of course singing in Slovenian, and then there was some kind of like maybe poetry thing in Slovenian as well, but then some were doing things in English. And I was participating, and of course I was doing it in English. And like actually that was how I started with stand-up comedy. I was participating there. I prepared a monologue with a character that I've been using for all of this time called Ramira Martinez Bermudez de Todos los Santos. You learn it. And you know, so that was like in Slovenia was when it started. And yeah, so I don't know, like I had the opportunity to start with this.
You already did theater before that, or
when I studied in
theater was during your university time or
no that? I mean I did theater since I was in high school, so high school, and during criminology I was also doing theater, but like amateur theater. And then after Slovenia it was when I did theater in a kind of like professional way, whatever. But in that moment I was just like, okay, trying things, you know. Also like Kamnik, this place where I was living, it has like 17,000 people. That's nothing. Something. So, you know, you could do whatever because there were not like many things going on. So,
But it's funny. I mean, I'm asking because eventually coming with the character, me that I know that character, and coming with the idea of making a complex name, and how I suppose it developed a lot since Slovenia, but I mean, at least what I've seen, it's really funny that it's like people trying to say this whole bunch of names, which majority are surnames in Spanish, which for me it will be okay, I could pronounce it, but when you're in Greece or when you are in other places, some Greek person trying to say this whole bunch of names one after the other.
Yeah.
It's absolutely the most hilarious introduction to yourself, which is really good.
Funny.
So yeah, I mean, you said that you came with this artistic part there also. Like, I mean, I suppose it's part of the volunteering also. When you're in a youth center, you need to find things to do. And yeah. Means that you need to, always that you work with younger people or with kids, you need to reinvent yourself a little bit to make the whole show happening.
Yeah, right? And like in a way it came also, like the first monologue, it was because like Slovenian people of course is more kind of cold, mm-hmm. Compared to Spanish people, so it was like the first one that I did, it was like how to be more Spanish. So it was like a way of saying to Slovenian people that, hey, you have to be more warm people. Mm-hmm. I mean, not that they are not, but of course you can feel the difference because we kiss in you know, like two times and so on. And then they say to you, hi, with hand in the distance and things like that. And it was kind of like cold. And also like the people in the youth center was over 40 years old, like the people that was working there.
Okay.
So, you know, the environment was like of men, but you know, I don't know, like, well, it was kind of a strange environment, but funny. So, I don't know. So, there were many things that, like, many possibilities of things that I could do. And finally, like, I ended up, like, doing this this stand-up thing with this character, and I did it like several times there. It was, I don't know, was nice, and I felt of course like a good to come up with this thing that has given me so much happiness afterwards.
Yeah, makes sense. So what about other international people? It was more because you said that there was a lot of people also talking between them in Slovenian. It was more like that the rest of the volunteers were from Slovenia itself?
Okay, so like in my youth center, the people there were from Slovenia,
mm-hmm.
okay. I was living with two Germans.
Okay.
Yeah. And then with another Spanish guy, but this guy like quit after 3 months more or less. And then I was going to other places in Slovenia, so like Litija, Škofja Loka and different places, and there were people from Poland, from Latvia, also like more from Spain, from Italy, you know, like from many many places, and we were meeting in different events like in Ljubljana or in these places. They will post something on Facebook like, we're doing this event if you want to come, so we will go and so on. I remember once for the International Women's Day, one friend was doing an event in his village, and I really wanted to go also like to be able to see my volunteers, like my volunteer friends, you know, and I don't remember like at what time it was, but like I checked the phone and I was like, fuck, I have to leave the place because first I have to go to the capital and then I have to go to this place, okay? And I started running, and normally like I had like a shortcut to take the metro, but they were doing something there, so I couldn't use it, and I needed to go around, and I started running, and it just ended up like eating, so like it was everything in my stomach. And like I just arrived to the train, but the train started going, and then it started screaming, no, no, no. And then like I was coughing because all the food was about to go out, you know, and I was like, oh my God, I'm gonna puke or something. But finally I didn't. And then I need to find another way to arrive. So I took a bus. Like the bus took a lot of time because there was a lot of traffic. And like finally I arrived to Ljubljana. I took the metro to, like, the train to go to this place. The place was, like, 40 minutes walking from the train station. I didn't have battery. So I was just, like, walking without knowing how to find the place because actually it was, like, first time that I was going there. And I remember when I arrived, they told me, oh, no, we canceled the event because nobody came. I was like, okay. No, you cannot tell me this. So it was, like, okay. Oh my God. But I mean, of course, then it was nice. I was just with my friends. We went to have dinner and so on. And then the next day I just went back to my place. But I don't know. It's nice.
Things happen. I mean, it's part of the experience, and these kind of moments that you are at that moment like, fuck this shit, like, why yeah, I did yeah, this, yeah. Now you laugh about them.
Yeah, but like, okay, of know? Course, now I think about it and it's funny. And I was thinking, I just remember, of course, we were like a lot of Spanish people because, I don't know, I guess you all also noticed that when Spanish people travel, like,
oh, yeah,
there's
yeah.
always a lot of Spanish people and normally they stick together a lot.
Yeah.
So this was, I mean, some group of Spanish people were really sticking together yeah. and other were really mixing, and I will go more with the one that were mixing because for me it was much more interesting. But sometimes we were doing something that I found funny, that when we will arrive to a party or something, like all the Spanish people, like we were all like first together, we were saying, we were gossiping, and then we were joining
splitting.
People.
Gossiping yeah.
We were kind of like a spider web, you know, like we were all there, and then we were like all us spiders were going to different places to
spying the other the people, just go back to the Spanish crew and just tell, hey, you know, this happened.
Yeah, I don't know. I remember one of the guys, like, he also quitted the project after, I don't know, like 8 months or something like that. And even when he was already in Spain, he knew everything that was happening. He knew even more than me that was living there. You know, I was like, how the hell you know this? Because, of course, you can imagine all of these young people from different countries making parties. There was a lot of...
gossiping, yeah.
Yeah, a lot of things going drama. On. A lot of sex in random places and things yeah. like that. You know, of course, part of the experience, I guess. But... but I found really funny that Spanish people, like, we were doing that.
Makes sense. I mean, it's okay, you know. We all know that
what's wrong
we are
with
a culture of gossiping. Like,
oh my god!
Before cell phones were invented, we literally managed the whole country by gossiping.
Yeah, like, yeah, yeah, probably. Yes, true.
And we still do it through the cell phones. We gossip through the
yeah,
phones.
Yeah, yeah. But also because we were so many people, there were events that the half of the people were Spanish, like an event with almost 30 people. We were like 17 Spanish people. And it was way too much. But like, I remember sometimes someone will say something in Spanish. And once like we all started like clapping in this kind of like Spanish way with this kind of like gypsy
yes.
rhythm or something at the same time, and the other foreigners were like, what the
hell
fuck?
Are you these guys
what are you doing?
The invasion of the Spanish.
Oh my god.
Nice. So I mean, you explained quite a lot of stories about Slovenia. It's the place yeah. that you lived for a longer time, actually, outside of Spain.
Yeah, that's it.
Can you tell me what was the best thing of Slovenia and what was the worst thing of Slovenia itself?
Okay. The worst, I think I didn't like that it was quite, there was a lot of sexism mm-hmm. that I felt. Not that in Spain we don't have, of course we do, but there were things that were bothering me a lot, like then not letting me take things because they say I'm a woman and I cannot take heavy stuff, you know. And that was really bothering me. I remember like a specific situation in which we were moving like some kind of platforms that were part of a stage, and you needed two people for this, so I was trying to do it with another person, but they told me, oh no, let a man do this thing. And I remember that then two 14 years old were doing it instead of me much and another magic. Person. And I was like, okay, thank you for telling
nothing.
Me that a 14-year-old kid is much stronger than a 22 or 23-year-old woman. And then, okay, the best, I think it was, were like these parties, this like social part, interacting, the trips also we did together to different parts of... I was going to say Spain, sorry, to different parts of Slovenia, and then also like to Croatia and places like around, because also it's so small that you can travel to many places. That was for me maybe the best, all of that interaction and the fun and I don't know, and the stupid things that we were doing.
Well, that's good. I mean, eventually it's just like you discovered the country in another way that it's not actually,
yeah.
I mean, I've never met someone who has been in a volunteer for more than that amount of time? Was it fixed? Like, you knew that you were going to a volunteer yes. program with 10 months specifically, or?
Yes, yes, yes. Like, normally when this is promoted in, like, there is, like, many Facebook pages where you can find this, or, like, in the platform of the European Solidarity mm-hmm. Corps, you know for how long you're going to be there, you know, like, 10 months project, 1 year project, 8 months project. So you know how much is going to be. Of course, there is people that quit before, or like they decide to stay there and live there for more time because they fall in love with the country, or because they found a job, or whatever.
Or because they fall in love with something else.
Oh yeah, of course, yeah. So many different circumstances. But I knew I was going to be 10 months. I even stay a bit longer because in August there is. Like still going, and this festival that is called Kamfest, which is funny because the place is called Kamnik.
Okay.
So the festival is Kamnik, so Kamfest, which is like okay, nice fun game. And I decided, like, my project was finishing at the beginning of August, but I stayed till the middle to be able to help there, because there were like many things going on, like concerts and theater stuff, and also like for children and for like many activities for 1 week more or less. So it was super nice to be there, also with different volunteers coming from many places to help in this Camp Festival.
The Camp Fest,
yeah.
So after that, you came back to Spain again.
Yeah.
There's always a Spain in between your countries.
Yeah, there is always a bit of Spain in between, in fact, yeah.
Okay, just before we jump to that, we do the second break now, yes. If it's okay for you.
Yes, 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 sure.
So, we are back again.
Yeah.
We were just talking when you left Slovenia to go back to Spain after the 10 months, so more or less at the time it was just, you already knew that you needed to come back at some point, you were finishing the volunteer. You had a plan after that?
I did have a plan, because...
Study psychology.
No. Okay, the thing is that when I was in UK, I realized that I wanted to be more close to the art, okay? Because I was doing theater for some time, amateur, as I already said. And in UK, I realized I wanted, but I couldn't apply in that moment. So I was like, okay, like after Slovenia, I will be able to apply. So I did like the kind of like exams to enter in theater school. After 8 months in Slovenia, so I knew what was going to happen when I finished Slovenia, because I did these exams already, and back. I knew I was okay. Yes, sorry, I'm like
you went back to Spain only for the exams, and then
it. So I went for 20 days. I visited some friends and so on. I did the, I don't know how to call it, like test, because you have like this interpretation kind of exam, then you have another one that is like you have a theater play and you have to do an analysis about it, then you have to write something of your own, you know, like there is different stuff, and then you have the punctuation and you know if you're in or not. So I was accepted. So when I was in Slovenia back, like when I went back, I knew already that I was accepted.
Okay.
The thing is that I didn't want to do theater. I mean, I wanted to do theater, but after those 8 months, I was not sure anymore. So when I was doing the exams, I remember meeting with my friends and crying because I was not sure that I want to do it. And I was, I don't know, like feeling really low. So then I decided, okay, I'm going to try for 1 year, as I was going to do with psychology, but I didn't do. But this time I decided, okay, I will try for 1 year. And if it doesn't work, then that's it. And I tried for that year that I was studying in Valladolid, and I didn't like it. I didn't like that there was, for example, no comedy at all. We were not working any kind of comedy thing. It was, and the methodology was quite, like, there's many ways of doing theater, many different possibilities, and we were just sticking to something very small that for me was not enough. the atmosphere, also the life with the people. So after that year, I quit. And my sister and I actually decided to start a theater association by our own, you know,
on our own.
That didn't work because of COVID. So we failed miserably in our endeavors. We tried, we got some projects accepted, but then they were canceled because,
So
I said theater in Valladolid, but we started this theater association in Salamanca because it was close to Valladolid where we had connections, but also in Salamanca we had connections. So I don't know, in a way it was kind of easier to do it there.
Yeah.
But because of COVID, couldn't go, it was just not really working well. So then after that, I encountered myself in the position of, okay, this didn't work. I'm not very sure what I'm going to do. So then I went back to live with my parents.
Amazing experience.
Which was terrible also because I had something with a guy in that moment, and he ghosted me, and the situation was kind of bad, so I was with really low spirits. Then I was looking for something to go out of my parents' house. I couldn't stand it there. It was too much for me because I didn't really have a good relationship with them, and it was strange to be back after all of the experiences, because you go back after everything and you change, but nothing changed. Well, you already probably know.
You changed.
Yeah, but nothing
your
else
home
changed.
Your home
is
still home.
Yes. Yeah,
it's
still the same.
Exactly, yeah.
Your mother still thinks that you like the things you like 4 years ago, which is not true, but then she thinks, it is like this, my child didn't change at all. No, of course I changed in many ways. So I needed to go out. So I did another volunteering experience, this time team volunteering one in Poland.
During COVID times already?
On November and December of last year, so it was more calm in this way. I mean, of course, still was
going
on.
It was not the very
on.
Beginning of it.
No, it was just already... No, it was, during this second year of COVID. And this was funny because the project, it was I was for 1 month and a half singing Christmas carols.
That was your volunteering project in general.
That was the project. So we were 12 volunteers living in a small house sharing, three toilets for 12 people and things like that. Really, everything was small. That kitchen, we couldn't fit at all. We didn't
12
have
people in the same flat.
We didn't have chairs for everybody. It was really funny. We were singing Christmas carols from... This was great because I learned many, many carols in different languages. So
but in the streets or where?
So we were going to the organization, which was super Catholic and had enormous picture of the Pope, the Polish Pope everywhere. You cannot imagine the Pope in the nature, the Pope playing football, the Pope in a cave, the fucking Pope in a cave.
Pope goes to the zoo like Theo.
Yeah, exactly. Theo goes to the zoo, the Pope goes to the zoo. And so they did this before. So it was the third time they were doing it to promote Christmas values and traditions of different countries. And we were doing it some online because of COVID. So in schools and high schools online, then in church. Then in the city center, we were in the north of Poland in Bydgoszcz, which is kind of near to... Gdansk. And we were singing Christmas carols from Portugal, from Italy, from Ukraine before everything started, from Spain, of course, from Poland, I don't remember
some
other place.
What is with you and singing in languages that you don't speak?
I don't know, but here in Greece, I also had things
really?
Like... Yeah, yeah. Well, I will tell when we arrive to Greece, nice. Maybe like to that part. Well, so it was really great also because, okay, we were 12 people and I was super afraid, like, okay, I already have lived with many people in my life in different flats, in different conditions, different countries, whatever. And I was like, this cannot go really well. 12 people in a small house, you cannot imagine, like,
definitely
the place was
not.
Really small. It worked really well.
Really?
Surprisingly, it went super well. The vibe was amazing. Like, we still have...
It's a month and a half.
Yeah, that's
and
the thing also. You're
you
in the bubble.
It's limited.
Still, but I thought it was going to be terrible, but it was really great. We had such
a... it's a lot. Huh? It's a lot of people.
I know. Like, everywhere we went, you know, like, we were filling the places with our presence, 12 people. I remember at the beginning, we were all taking the bus at the same time, so we were waiting for everybody to be in the stop, you know, so we were even, like, losing the bus because not everybody was there at the same time. Then at the end, we will take the bus, and if not everybody was in the stop in the morning, then they will take the next one,
yeah, exactly.
You know. But at the beginning, we were like, oh, we are a community,
the big
or something. A sect of people singing carols in the north of Poland with a super Catholic organization. Oh my god.
Nice.
So that was great. But we had like some problems in the house. Sometimes we would not have like heating or warm water, and this was November and December. Okay, so I don't know, that was just like, okay, what is going on? Then we will, of course, like, call and they will fix the things, but sometimes it took, like, a couple of days without warm water, okay. Of course, no intimacy, not time for oneself, yeah. But, of course, I think we were living the moment. Every weekend we were going somewhere. We were, like, all the time super active. I was super tired all the time, but I was doing things because, okay, it was 1 month and a half, so we knew we needed to embrace the moment, which was like, wow, okay, amazing, but super tiring. And I was like, even like for the whole month and a half, I was sick.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, sick till the point that I was like in one moment, like I remember some days that I was feeling super like bad. I was coughing till puking. You know, and then when I went back to Spain, I did some analysis. And they even did like this, like the tuberculosis test to me, you know. And even like when I was back in Spain, they fucked up and they thought they had actually tuberculosis. Then, of course, they realized they didn't measure it correctly. But I can say that for 1 minute of my life, I had tuberculosis.
Yes.
But I don't know, it was
that's good for stand-up, at least.
Yeah, never use it, but maybe I will use it in the future. But it was funny, I don't know.
Something made in a strange noise.
Yeah.
So maybe I stop again.
Okay.
For the last time before we go to Greece, and I make the last questions that I do to everyone.
Okay.
So, after technical interruption, you were just saying that you... We're singing Christmas songs in Poland for 1 month and a half with 12 other people while living with them. Then you did it again. You came back to Spain and then...
So I came back to Spain. I was again looking for something to do. While in that moment, then I was just like working in a supermarket to like gain some money, and to feel better with myself, because otherwise I felt that I was just in my parents' house without doing anything. Then I was thinking about doing a master in project management because I was interested in this kind of projects that I was doing abroad, you know, and there is like masters about it, but I didn't really wanted to do a master, so I found that I could do an internship, and this is what I decided to do, and I was accepted here in Greece, and that's the reason that I came, like this internship that I've been doing here more like project writing. So I've been like writing projects for like European projects, so exactly what I did abroad, but I was the one writing them, like I've been designing them, you know, like target groups, schedules of activities or things like that. And yeah, I also had my singing thing here as okay. in Poland. But because like I felt the need again to be singing because Poland was so nice that part, that I kind of like looked for that. But it was strange because, okay, when I arrived, I really had the need of cover, like I wanted to cover my social needs because the going to another country is difficult if you don't know people. So I was going to every Facebook event, and there was this singing event organized by a guy from Czech Republic in his house. I didn't know this guy, and I just went to the house of this random person. Three other people also came, one girl from Greece, then me and another person, and this guy. The beginning, he wanted to do some kind of like mantra thing, we were just like at the beginning, like breathing in, breathing out, and I'm not really into this stuff, so I was like, okay. And then we were singing a mantra that I remember, like part of the lyrics. It was like, you are my other me. If I harm you, I harm myself. If I love you, I love myself. And we were singing this with one hand in the heart of another person, and like the other person with a hand in our chest. Gosh. And then we were singing Greek songs, and I was like, oh my God. And I never went back to any of these meetings.
Makes sense.
But also, I had another of these experiences, but this I was not looking for singing. It just like happened because I went to some kind of like eco village thing that is in the south of Athens, kind of like going out to Glyfada, and they were doing an event for building like an small amphitheater for doing activities there, and my teacher of improvisation theater, because I joined improv theater here, told me about it, and I was like, yeah, I would like to join to build this amphitheater thing. We didn't build anything at all because they didn't have a plan of how to do it, but we were doing
echo.
Well,
You have the requirements.
They bought all the materials, but they didn't know how to do it. So they spent like the whole day discussing about how to do it, and they did nothing. They look Spanish people. I mean, they're exactly as Spanish people will do exactly.
Oh, no, that's really Greek also.
Yeah, that so really like we're really alike in this thing. So then we were doing other activities, and in the night we did something like singing to the moon because it was like full moon, and this was like hippie thing. I was like, no, not again.
Not again.
And they had this Palo Santo, and they did a cleansing thing to us, and then we were around a fire singing to the moon and everything, and I was like, my God, what I'm doing here. We were so close to the fire that the smoke was going into our face, and we were crying and coughing. But still.
To the moon.
Yes.
No, you were crying to the moon.
Yes. It was just absurd. I was just like, oh my God, I really wanted to go.
Oh my gosh.
But I mean, I'm alive. I mean, it was not like terrible, but it was strange because I didn't expect it. So I was like, okay, this is not what
it's
I wanted.
It's the closest to a witch and wizard's experience that you ever had.
Yes, because then like it was absurd. Like it rained a bit, and they were like, oh, we call the elements. We didn't call anybody. It's just rain a bit, okay? It just happened, not because we were singing shit.
We called the elements.
And then we called
the elements.
And if you
did, you called the single element, which is water.
There was one moment that the moon was behind a cloud. And then when we were singing...
And they called the cloud also. No, the cloud moved.
Yes, the cloud moved, and they thought it's because of us. And where one girl said, like, did you realize that when the cloud moved, it had the shape of a heart? Like, no.
When these kind of conversations happens, I'm always like thinking, with the amount of humans that are in the earth, could it be that there is two same persons having the same experience at the same time, really believing that they are moving something at the same time by dancing?
I don't know.
Then you need to discover who of the two or three who are dancing at the same time to the moon is the correct one.
There were like 10 people there. So I don't know, like a lot of minds, a lot of power, lot of humans moving things. I don't know. But like then afterwards, I talked with some people that like that were not really into this. And we were like, okay, yeah, none of us were really like into the mood of this moon.
Who started
thing.
It then?
A woman that was into
the one of the cloud with the form of a heart.
No, another one. The one that was guiding the whole session. That she was singing the mantras and everything. And I was just like, okay. I don't know. It was another experience. But
So you've been in Greece for how long?
Now it's going to be five months.
Months. The internship was also like close to a set time or...?
Yes, I could, like, I had a contract at the beginning, so I knew more or less for how long I will be. Also, like, this organization cannot say, like, it works perfectly. So, even if I could, I'm not very sure I will, like, stay more time. I mean, in a way, I have a lot of freedom because I just write down, like, I write the projects I want, and that's it, you know? They don't, like, we don't really interact. But in a way, it's also kind of sad that there is not really, like, a lot of interaction, but since it has not been like it didn't take much of my time, I had a lot of time then for doing other stuff, for traveling around, for being with people I met there in this, well, not in this singing events, but in other really interesting events that I went that had nothing to do with singing and calling the elements and the moon and things like that.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
So it has been a rough time, or it was like you said that you tried to enter really hard in the sense of like socializing from the very beginning, which is something that I did also this time when I came to Greece, in the sense of really doing activities that I liked and try to start from the very beginning of doing it to feel as part or as quickly as possible home, let's say, like this.
Yes.
Did it feel like that? Like, do you feel that Greece was easier?
I think it was also like, okay, people is like warmer, for example, than in Poland or in Slovenia. And I don't know, I think I just went a bit like crazy because I was in my parents' house and again, I needed to escape. So when I arrived, I was just like checking all the Facebook events of that were happening here. And I was going to everything, you know, like, I don't know, like crazy. I started dancing tango. I was doing to this singing thing. I was doing absolutely everything, going to exhibitions, to museums, to all the things. Then like after these experiences, I was meeting more people. So then at the end, I really had the opportunity to build like groups of people. And then I've been doing things with them. I went to this stand-up thing. I met people there. I don't know, like it was quite fast and I didn't felt loneliness like in my previous experiences. Of course, you had some days that you feel, I don't know, alienated and you don't feel connected to people or whatever. But here I would say it worked quite well in that sense. Like, I really covered that part. And I don't know, like, kind of happy about it, because if I see how it has been, I arrived to this point of feeling like, okay, yeah, I did it. I managed. Of course, sometimes I was kind of like afraid because I was saying yes to everything, and I remember some moments that I was like, today I could die. Maybe I can go into the house of this random guy and I will never go back again, you know. But still, I was doing it because it was like what I needed in this moment, you know, like just to go away from my own shit.
It happens sometime. I mean, you need to take risks. And
yeah, no.
I mean, at the end, if the only thing that you take from it is that you need to do some mantras, it's what it is, you know. there is always bad and good experiences.
Yeah.
What is the downside of Greece? Like, before we jump to the last two questions and I go to the closure that I always do.
Okay.
What has been the downside of being here for the last 5 months?
Okay, I think like I had some problems with the certificate, like COVID certificate, okay. Because in Spain it was like it lasts for 9 months. Like I didn't have the booster mm-hmm. when I arrived. Now I have it, but I didn't. It was a really difficult thing because I needed to wait 1 month to be able to get the insurance number to be able to get an appointment. And for that month I was like trying very hard because I knew it, like I didn't have time. And then when the moment arrived that my certificate was not valid anymore because here is just for 7 months, I was really pissed off because I couldn't go to places, and then I was like kind of stuck home, you know. And I don't know, it took 1 month. 1 month is a lot. I remember calling the Spanish embassy here saying like, okay, I have this problem. They told me, complain. You have to file complaints till something happens because this is how it works here. So I was doing that. Like maybe I filled like 15 complaints, something like that. I was like every day doing it. And it really bothered me a lot because I couldn't travel. I couldn't like many things, you know. Then another thing that I think also it affected me, it was with men generally here, of course not everybody, but I think like I never had something like this in Spain. Like here there has been like a lot of flirting, but not like really people that is interested, like just people that want to fuck, or like also you're walking in the street and someone is grabbing his balls and going down the street looking at you, and it's like okay, yes, or saying comments or things like that. I cannot understand the comment because I don't understand Greek. But in a way it's like okay, what this person is telling me. Or I remember 2 weeks ago I came from Thessaloniki and I was in the station. And there were two guys that were looking at every woman that was in the station, like from up to down, talking between them, like surely about them. Also, I think about me, about every woman that was there. And I was so uncomfortable. And then we were together in the same bus and my seat was next to them. I decided to change the seat, but there were so many people that I needed to go back to mine. And one of the guys was like staring at me and I was like, okay, what the fuck? Like that was like something that really bothered me. I had like strange dates here, so something, you know, like the experience I would say is it was generally very good, but then like this stuff kind of like spoiled a bit like the mood. Also like there was a guy that like we never met alone, but he was like super intense, super like trying to meet with me. He wrote the equivalent of 9 pages in Word to me. 9 pages.
Oh gosh.
Okay, 1.5 the separation, 12 in Times New Roman, you know. 9 pages. I don't have so much to say to anybody. I was like, and really like kind of manipulative, you know. And of course, like my experience here is not just like Greek people, and I cannot say that this all Greek people is terrible, but like generally I think it was like really bad luck, like okay, what is with this country? I don't know. So that was like
I think it popped up in other episodes of the podcast where we were talking about Greece, about the one thing is the bureaucracy, and this is something that we all know about this country, it's not the best in the world. The other thing, there is a lot of work to do in terms of feminism, and there is a lot of work to do in and trying to explain to a lot of people that these kind of micro-masculisms are masculism itself, you know. Micro-masculism, I call it micro-masculism, but it's not. I mean, what you're explaining, it's not micro-masculism, it's masculism itself. But I think they are like kind of far away from. Maybe from a feminist perspective of anything, they're still so traditional in their way of doing things. And
like also talking with friends, like one of them told me that there was this guy that didn't let her be like in the pedestrian walk. She could like he didn't allow her to be in the site that was in the road, you know, because he wanted to protect her. Look, Malaka, if a car comes against you both, you will both die. You're not gonna protect her. And like then also another friend of mine, one of my flatmates, that was going from Omonia to our place. Mm-hmm. Like Omonia is like 30 minutes from our place. Mm-hmm. And it's not like the best of the areas. And she was walking in the night. Four cars in the space of 30 minutes were like following her, slowly going behind her. They were not doing anything, but they were just like following her. And she was freaking out.
Of course.
She was so scared because, okay, they will not do anything, but you don't know if at some point maybe someone will stop, take you and do something. You know?
I mean, you don't know if they will do anything or not.
Of course. Like, I was like, okay, what?
This is crazy. Yeah, it's sad. Well, like every country, it has ups and downs.
No, of course it has.
Eventually, being a woman here, I think it's much more complex than being a man. And this is something that it's clear. You see it on the streets, and you mm-hmm. see how the people behave and how they watch at girls and how they watch at women and how they. It's not difficult to see it. Like it's they don't care, to be honest. But yeah. I felt like it went just down, like suddenly.
I mean, not like the best of the topics to finish in. Maybe we will go back to calling the elements. I don't know.
So maybe one last question before we close the episode with the two real questions. Okay. The last one. What now? You're going back to Spain?
Wow. Yes, I'm going back to Spain because if I don't go back to Spain, I cannot go to other place, it seems, exactly. Because it's always like the other place where I stay before doing anything else. I have no idea. Okay. I don't have plans. I have a bit of anxiety now because I don't really know what I'm going to do. I'm applying for jobs, like I'm sending my CV. I'm also like I apply to some kind of internship things as well, so I'm like waiting to know what is going to happen to me, but I don't really have any plan, and that means that I need to go back to my parents' place, I guess,
again.
I don't want to have like stupid works. I don't want to be again like, I don't know, in the like working in places that I already been that are not really something that makes me happy. But then I don't have any, you know, income. So yeah, well, I don't know. I will see.
Well,
something will come up. Yeah, that. I mean, I'm like, sure, but it's always like this transition point that is kind of.
But eventually, strange. You did it three times already, so you know something about it.
Yeah. I always think I could always sell my used underwear.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. There is like many pages that do this. Yeah. I could do it as well. If nothing comes, of course I'm joking, but you never know.
But no, but not 100%. Oh my gosh. Well, I think you listen to the podcast at least some of the episodes, so yeah. You know more or less what are the last two questions. Mm-hmm. I always ask, first of all, what you would recommend to anyone who wants to go to any of the countries where you have lived, any recommendations in general for the people who...
I would say... like try to join the Facebook events, like there is always like it will always connect you to people, to different places, like you get to know cities through going to different events. So for me it has been like super helpful. Then like it's when you have like really settled plans and then they don't go as you wish, that can be quite, I don't know, can
disappointing.
It can be really disappointing, so it's better to try not to have expectations and like try to embrace the things that are coming and say yes to the things. Of course, like maybe not to drugs in the street, like someone
kids.
Strange like coming and saying like, hey, you want to try this thing? Maybe not to that, or maybe yes, I don't know. But I don't know, like maybe you will never be in this situation, that you're in a different country, you have the energy, the strength to do these things. So just like to embrace the things that are coming, because even if these years have been a bit like strange, changing a lot, I'm really happy that it happened this way. And I don't know, like now that I'm young, I can do these things. So like, just take the moment and squeeze it. Nice. Take the most of it.
And the last question before we close the episode, do you have any personal project, any projects from anyone that you want to promote and you want to use the podcast to?
I think I could promote my used underwear. No.
If you're already opening
Yes, I wanted to promote a friend of mine called Amaya Villanueva. She's from Spain, and I met her because she was the next person that went to Slovenia after I finished my project, and we talked a lot, and eventually we get to meet each other. And she has an amazing voice. She's doing a lot of she's composing a lot of songs. She's starting, and but she's doing like she does it really well. So I don't know. No way. I would like to promote her.
Makes sense.
Yeah,
that's great. A lot of singing things in this podcast.
Yeah, of course. So I have to promote someone that sings. Like I have to close the circle somehow.
We need to close it somehow.
Yeah, that's it.
So, it has been a pleasure to have you in
the
podcast.
Thank you so much, Mark, for inviting me.
And I hope we will see either in Spain or in Greece.
Yeah, you never know.
So, thanks.
Maybe in some singing event we will see each other. For sure. Like I remember, like in the reverse of Slander, you say you were like taking singing lessons.
Yes, and I was in a choir also, but not as well. Hey.
Then maybe we'll encounter each other. So
that or stand-up comedy, it's fine.
Yeah, oh, okay, also that, of course, stand-up comedy, you're thinking.
Again, thank you so much.
Thank you.